on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Weekend looming ahead now. Not quite there yet, but it's looming, especially now that we're into Thursday afternoon. We have open talk to begin the program today. Our phone number, as usual, is 283-2525, 283-2525. We'll have guests later on the program, too. It's a big day coming up this Saturday, day after tomorrow, at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport on Airport Road, just south of the city of Butler. They're celebrating the 90th anniversary of the opening of the airport. Yeah, it happened in late September, right about this time of year, in 1929. We will be talking a little bit later on the program today with Ike Kelly, who's the manager of the airport, and he'll give us a rundown on things that are going to be happening this Saturday. A lot of stuff. Also, it's a big weekend. A lot of activities going on. This is the weekend for the annual Heritage Festival at McConnell's Mill State Park. One of my favorite places around here, McConnell's Mill State Park. Natalie Simon from the park office will chat with us a little bit later on the program. We'll fill you in on what's happening both Saturday and Sunday this weekend at McConnell's Mill. And finally, we'll be chatting a little bit about cybersecurity with guest Greg Scott. This should be on the minds of everyone these days, cybersecurity. And it's not just governments that have to be concerned. It's private individuals, too. All of us have to worry about cybersecurity and scams and getting hacked and that sort of thing. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Greg Scott. We have a lot of stuff to get to here on the program today. But we begin with open talk at 283-2525. What to say about the impeachment inquiry getting underway in the U.S. House of Representatives? And this, of course, has to do with the phone conversation that President Donald Trump had with the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. And then the report by a whistleblower who was concerned about this and went through the procedures to, you know, file a whistleblower report. And then the Trump administration would not forward it to Congress, which they are obliged to do under law. And it seems to me, and I'm no expert. Look at this from the outside. I follow the news as many of you do. It seems to me that this whole brouhaha could have been avoided if the Trump administration had just passed on the whistleblower's report to Congress, as they're obliged to do under law. Well, now they have anyway. They did it yesterday. But if they'd done it a couple of weeks ago, we wouldn't have had this big blow-up. It just seems so unnecessary, right? Yeah. So what do you think about it? I mean, do you pay attention to this? Does it just blow right over you? I know it blows over the heads of a lot of people because it just seems like endless reports coming out of Washington. Same old, right? But there's no question that President Trump had this conversation with the Ukrainian president. And there's no question that he asked a favor. Trump admits that. He said, I have a favor to ask of you. Will you please look into Joe Biden and his son? He was looking for dirt on Joe Biden. Simple as that. And then he admits it, you know. So why not? And then I had to chuckle a little bit at the president yesterday, one of the sound clips that we had from him. He says, well, this is total transparency now. Well, again, if we would have had total transparency 2 weeks ago, we wouldn't have had this big flare-up and all the buzz that's going on in Washington. So what do you think? Should there be an impeachment of President Trump? I don't think that's going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. An inquiry into this? Okay. We have a lot of inquiries in Congress. There are hearings all the time, and that's good. If we can find out what really happened, but it didn't have to be such a blow-up, do you think? Am I wrong on this? I don't know. But does anybody really think that the president is going to be impeached over this? I certainly don't think so. I doubt it. We'll see. We'll see. But this, you know, the president, he brings a lot of this on himself. You know, first he says, oh, there's nothing to it. I don't know anything about it. And then it dribbles out, you know, piece by piece. What do you think? 283-2525 is the number. Also, big news out of Harrisburg yesterday afternoon. Governor Tom Wolf has reversed his position. He now says he's in favor of legalizing recreational use of marijuana here in Pennsylvania. And the governor said, came to this conclusion after reviewing the results of Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman's trip all over the state. Fetterman, over the past several months, visited every county, all 67 counties, including here in Butler County. He stopped. His appearance here in Butler County was at Slippery Rock University. And Fetterman says there is a consensus on some things, at least. He said there's virtually unanimous consensus that we should decriminalize nonviolent marijuana use. Does that mean recreational use? I don't know. I've seen reports already from some people who say, well, members of the House Republican Caucus in Harrisburg responded immediately to Governor Wolf's news conference yesterday. And, well, let me quote from what they said. This is House Republicans. Quote, "We are disappointed and frustrated that Governor Wolf would promote recreational use of a drug classified as a narcotic by the federal government." And they go on in a rather lengthy press release to detail why they are disappointed and frustrated. That's the House Republican Caucus. The governor said yesterday, and you heard the sound clips, we had them all morning long here on WISR, the governor would like to see decriminalization of nonviolent marijuana use. He'd like to see the records expunged for people who were convicted of marijuana-related crimes, small-time marijuana crimes. And he'd like the state lawmakers to begin a serious debate on whether or not marijuana for recreational use should be legalized here in Pennsylvania. What do you think? There are several states who have done this. The majority of states have now legalized the use of medical marijuana. But recreational use, several states have legalized it. Should Pennsylvania do that? I don't know. I'm a little leery of it. I'm no expert. I don't necessarily think that marijuana is a so-called gateway drug. But by the same token, you know, if you're using marijuana for recreational purposes, you're smoking it. And why do people want to inhale anything into their lungs, whether it's cigarette smoke or marijuana smoke? So that concerns me. But who knows? And does it lead to more crime? Probably less crime, actually, when you think about it, if it's legalized. But is it the best thing to do? I don't know. What do you think? 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk, 283-2525. Let's get to the people. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I'd like to make 2 points about the medical about the marijuana recreational use.
Good.
The first one would be, excuse me.
Alexa, stop.
The first one would be that it would unclog our legal system and our court system. and free up the courts for more important, and free up the jails for more, unfortunately, violent criminals, other things. Police can be freed up to do their jobs rather than having to worry about these, let's call it a misdemeanor or petty crime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The second thing is people who do use recreational marijuana, there's a problem with the market because you can buy it, especially the younger kids. They buy it and it's laced with something that can sometimes be fatal. If it's legalized, the state can do something like they do with the medical marijuana, which is regulate it, distribute it, sell it, perhaps even tax it and use the money for drug education, use the money for that kind of thing, so that if you're going to use it, at least you know you're buying something safe.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, and I agree with that. I hate to sound too mercenary, but the government could also tax it like they do alcohol and cigarettes.
Else.
Yeah, cigarettes, alcohol, they're both taxed.
Yeah, exactly. And they can use the money to help educate the youth and some of us adults about the use of drugs and why, and treatment. Use it for the betterment and get people to use wisely, have more discernment, or to not use it at all,
mm-hmm.
rather than not tapping it and the money getting thrown away.
Yeah, well, your couple of points that you made that I'd respond to. First of all, not using it at all. I agree with you on that. I don't care if it's legalized or not. I'm not going to start smoking marijuana cigarettes. I don't want to smoke anything. We're hearing more and more about how putting anything into our lungs is not good, you know.
Correct.
I'm not going to do it. I don't care whether they legalize it or not. But your other point about freeing up the court system and the jails, absolutely right. I mean, how many times do we hear? It's almost every day where somebody's arrested for, in fact, there's even a term for it, small amount of marijuana.
There you go.
And they end up sometimes going to jail, many times going to jail. They've got a record then, you know, when they make a job application or whatever. And that would free up a lot of that. So I hear what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good points. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Sure. So long. 283-2525. What do you think about this? 283-2525, our number. Let's go to this line next. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
How are you today?
Just fine. Hey, nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to talk about legalizing marijuana. I'm not for it. The lady was saying they would free out the jails, but what do they do to families from alcohol to gambling to drugs? To many things. It's breaking up our families. People can't afford to raise their families because they either have a drinking problem, a drug problem, a gambling problem. If they want to get people out of jail for using marijuana, then don't make the law so stiff.
Yeah.
They're tearing the country apart.
I can understand what you're saying there, and all of the things that you mentioned, we link them together. We call it sin taxes. You know, here in Pennsylvania, we tax all this stuff, sin taxes. We tax gambling. We tax cigarettes. We tax alcohol. And your point is well taken. You know, all of these things tend to, if abused, break up families. So that's a concern, I think. Yeah.
Right. And even if they're taxed, I see people out there that can hardly make ends meet, but they're smoking. They're smoking a couple packs a day. You know?
What do you think about
kids?
They're
going to do the same.
What do you think?
The same thing with marijuana or drinking or gambling.
What do you think about kids if marijuana would be legalized, as Governor Wolf said yesterday, he now favors? Do you think kids, I mean, students in middle school, high school would start smoking this stuff a lot, or or what do you think?
I think that they may smoke it more. They probably do smoke it now anyway.
Well, that's no question about that. You know, they do. At a young age, sometimes.
Yep. I mean, look at our forefathers. How early in life did they start smoking cigarettes? You know, 8, 10, 12 years old?
That's true. Yeah. We see pictures of some of the founding fathers with the corncob pipes and so on and so forth. I think they kind of they picked it up from the Native American Indians, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were the ones that grew the tobacco.
Right. And all that stuff is tearing the families apart and is making people sick.
So do you think it's going to happen, even though the governor tried to make his case yesterday? You maybe heard his various comments here on WISR and our news this morning. Do you think that marijuana is, in fact, going to be legalized for recreational use here in Pennsylvania? I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, if ever. What do you think?
I hope not, but I'm afraid it's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to come, and then if marijuana is legalized, what's going to be next? Are we going to be able to smoke heroin or, you know, shoot dope? And because they want to make money for taxes, taxes and taxes.
I'm hearing you. Thanks for your thoughts. Thanks for sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Oh, you too. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today, 283-2525. The governor's comments, Governor Tom Wolf's comments yesterday, generating a lot of response one way or another about whether marijuana should be legalized for recreational use here in Pennsylvania, legalized as a recreational drug. I'm not sure just how many states have done this. It's quite a few now. Colorado was the first one, and that was a few years back. Washington, Oregon, I think. Has California done it? There's a bunch of states now, and the number is growing. Should Pennsylvania do it? Will Pennsylvania be next? I don't see this in the state legislature at all in the near future. It took the Pennsylvania legislature years to finally decide to approve the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. And we've had that for a couple of years now. And even after lawmakers finally did approve it for medicinal use for a number of particular medical conditions, that's the only way you can get it here in Pennsylvania. And there's a list of conditions and diseases that you'll be eligible to get medical marijuana. And by the way, you don't smoke it. The medical marijuana is in the form of oils or things that you ingest that you take by mouth. There's no smoking involved. But it took state lawmakers a long time to even approve that. And there was great debate over that. And it was not unanimous. Most of those lawmakers are still in office in the state house and the state senate. I don't see it happening at any time in the foreseeable future. But what do I know? Open talk at 283-2525 here on the It's Your Turn program today, 283-2525. Let's take a break. Back with more after these words.
Leave the driving up to us.
The
bus. We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back. Open talk on this segment of It's Your Turn. We'll have guests joining us very shortly. What about vaping? That's been in the news a lot over the past, especially the last two or three weeks, because we've been seeing more and more deaths from vaping-related illness. Vaping, the smoking of e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes. What do you think about that? Some states are taking action. Massachusetts has banned all vaping. They've banned all vaping. Their state lawmakers there said, we're putting a moratorium on this. And I saw some video on the news late last night, on the TV news, where the shelves of vaping stores in Massachusetts are bare. They've shut it down altogether. In some other states, they've banned flavored electronic cigarettes. Juul is the biggest company, J-U-U-L, Juul. And yesterday, the chairman and CEO of Juul stepped down. They're pulling all of their advertising across the board, radio, TV, print, billboards, no more Juul advertisements. And the CEO, who's stepping down effective immediately, said on TV yesterday, well, we never intended this to be for young people anyway. We never intended this to be for teenagers. We intended it for adult cigarette smokers who are trying to kick the habit. That's what he said. And, you know, for a while, we didn't hear any specific negativity with regarding e-cigarettes or vaping. But suddenly, within the past two or three weeks, reports are popping up all over the place. We've seen the video of kids in the hospital, unable to breathe. The ninth death officially related to vaping was recorded yesterday. What do you think? 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk. Back to the people we go. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave. This is Randy here calling, and I heard you on your radio talking about marijuana. Hey, that there is what's killing a lot of these here young kids and stuff like that there.
How did it kill them?
Well, they go to take the pills and stuff like that there. And then I know people that smoked, and they're not even around.
Yeah.
And well, stuff like that, Darren. And I'm 77 years old, and I never smoked none of that in my life.
Well,
so just imagine what these young kids are doing. They're going to legalize it in Pennsylvania. That's the worst thing they could have done.
Well, we know that smoking is deadly for you, that's for sure. But I don't know of anyone that's died from marijuana. I have to be honest.
Oh,
with
yeah,
you
there was a girl. And I'm going to tell you, this is no lie. There was a girl went to, right here in this building. She used to live downtown by Brush Street School in that apartment building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And they turned around and they found her. They found her in her apartment. She turned around and she took an overdose.
Wow.
Of them marijuana pills and that. And
so.
Stuff like that there. She used to be a friend of... my neighbor guy, she used to come up here all the time to see her friend and that.
So obviously...
And they found her next day in her apartment dead.
Obviously you disagree with Governor Tom Wolf then yesterday when he called for the legalization of marijuana. You don't think that's a good idea, huh?
No, I do not, no.
All right, Randy, thanks for sharing your opinion and thought with us. That's what we do here. Good to talk with you.
I'm against all that stuff. I don't smoke it, and I don't believe anybody else smoked it either.
All righty. Thanks, Randy. Good to talk with you today. Thanks.
Yeah, you too.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. That's the old Merle Haggard to tune. I'm an Okie from Muskogee. We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. Well, listen, we've got to take a quick break here because we want to bring in our guest. We're going to be talking in just a minute here with Ike Kelly, the manager of the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport. Big things are happening all day this Saturday at the airport. And in just a minute, we'll fly in, and Ike will tell you all about it. So stick around here on It's Your Turn for a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Do you love home cooking? Me too. And that's what Michael's Restaurant specializes in. From homemade soups to daily lunch and dinner specials and the legendary desserts. Every Friday night, Michael's features prime rib and crab legs for you to enjoy. Hungry for Italian food? Try Michael's Diablo pasta or seafood scampi. Michael's Restaurant, Newcastle Road.
Listeners, hey, we have a chance to tell you about what's going to be happening this Saturday at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport. It's a really, really big day. Ike Kelly, the manager of the airport, is with us on the telephone here today. A special day. You're marking an anniversary, Ike, on Saturday, right?
Yes, it is, Dave. This is a big event for us. It's our 90th anniversary. We've been in continuous operation at that time, which is not the case for a lot of smaller airports around the area. And of course, our growth has helped us to sustain our operations, and we're actually in the top 10 of general aviation airports of the state of Pennsylvania. So this is cause for celebration for us.
Indeed, 90 years. So that would be 1929 the airport opened, huh?
That's right, September 27 and 28th. So we picked the 28th, which was one of the original opening days since it's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was September 28th, 1929. We have a picture of the opening day, and you know, at that time, there were thousands of people here. The Pittsburgh-Butler Airport, as it was known then, was intended to be what Greater Pittsburgh eventually became, and now Pittsburgh International. So it's a big deal, and it's still a big deal for us.
That's an amazing thing that some of our listeners might not be aware of. Pittsburgh did not have an airport at that time. And as it was then known, and it's now known again, the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, this was planned to be, you know, what later became known as Greater Pitt, right? That's unbelievable.
That's right. You know, at that time, Pittsburgh was, of course, the smoky city. There was a lot of smoke and soot, and there were some smaller airports around that served the Pittsburgh area, but the location up here was chosen because of the clear air and more suitable for flying, which at that time was primarily on visual flight rules. They didn't have the instrument capabilities that we have now.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks will realize this, major airports at big cities around the world are usually located some distance outside of town. Charles de Gaulle Airport is some distance from Paris. Heathrow is some distance from London. So that was not at all unusual back in those days when these airports were established.
That's right.
So what's going to happen on Saturday? This is a one-day event this Saturday, the 28th. What's going to be happening at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport?
We have a little bit something for everyone, Dave. We're going to have some attraction for the kids, bounce house, some aviation-themed things for the children. We're having food trucks. We're going to have a fly-in for the pilot community that want to fly in and have a bite to eat. We're having a swap meet of airplane parts. Of course, it's called a fly market. And the fellow who is going to handle that for us also has a motor home with a big, I think it might be a DC-3 fuselage mounted on it. So it's a real unique attraction, you know, to come and get a look at that. We're having drawings for free airplane rides. So every 15 minutes we're going to draw tickets and people can get a free airplane ride if they so choose.
Wow.
That'll be a nice time. That'll go on from, from noon to 4 p.m., and we have some vendor tables set up with some local community agencies that will be set up here. And as I mentioned, just kind of a general open house. You get a chance. There's no admission, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You come down, and great day to bring the kids. Come down, walk around, take a look at things, get a chance to see what it's all about.
So activities kick off at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they'll go till late afternoon on Saturday, huh?
That's correct, 9 until 4.
I was chuckling a little bit a minute or so ago when you said it's going to be called a fly market. It took me a few seconds to catch on, Ike. It's not flea market, it's fly market for the airplane parts.
Right.
And this
it's a unique thing. When you go to some of the big national air shows, and of course the largest one is in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, for folks who will build their own airplanes from blueprints or from kits. But a lot of these people have bits and pieces laying around of different airplanes they've owned over the years. That's a good opportunity for them to come in and set up a table and, you know, get a chance to meet with other pilots, the general public. You know, people have curiosity about it and sell their parts. And sometimes they're buying somebody else's, just like the Parts-O-Rama out at the fairgrounds. It's a swap meet of sorts and unique in the fact that it's all airplane parts.
I would be anxious to see that guy with the motorhome
with the
DC-3 fuselage. DC-3, now, I'm not a real expert on aircraft, Ike, but I think that's the civilian version of the C-47, which was the big troop transport plane during World War II. Am I correct on that?
That's exactly right. That's where it came into being. You know, Douglas Aircraft designed it as part of the war effort. They had a DC-2 prior to it, but this is the further development of it. It was essential. In fact, there was several of them that flew from the United States to France for the D-Day invasion celebration mm-hmm. this year that were painted up in the original colors, but it was the backbone of carrying cargo, troops, whatever were needed for the war effort.
Real workhorse. Hard to believe some of those planes are still in use today.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them out there flying. It's just an excellent design.
Yeah, what's that? It's a TV show about the guys that fly in Alaska. What is it, the Buffalo Airlines or something?
Oh, yeah. They got Buffalo Joe or whatever. They have the old DC-3s, and which at that time was a C-47, as you mentioned, and then the C-46 was a Curtis Commando. But, they're up there flying in the frigid north, which is a challenge in itself with piston engines and the oil.
We're talking for a few minutes, listeners, with Ike Kelly. He's the manager of the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, where they will have anniversary activities all day this Saturday. 9 a.m. until 4. There's also going to be an opportunity to see antique aircraft on display, including a pretty famous one owned by Jim Savage. It's going to be flying in, I guess, Ike. Is that right?
Yes. Jim actually has it based on the field, but he's bringing it over for display throughout the day. It won a Grand Champion Award, the Reserve Grand Champion at Oshkosh, which is actually an international show, but it's a work of art. It's a Spartan Executive, which at that time would be similar to what a Learjet is today. Yeah. And it's in pristine condition. Jim is really a labor of love for the effort he has put into this airplane. And he's going to be here with it, answer questions, you know, explain, you know, the various intricacies of the aircraft and what it takes to keep an aircraft that age flying. And it is in top condition, both mechanically and appearance-wise.
1939 Spartan Executive. This would have been in the early days of aviation. Of course, the Wright brothers back in the early 1900s, but commercial aviation didn't take off until a couple of decades later. We had Amelia Earhart, speaking of whom, she actually did some work at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, Amelia Earhart, back in the day. I think it was Ike when she was getting ready to try to fly across the Pacific, right?
Well, it's actually for her flight across the Atlantic.
Ah.
She did the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. She did instrument training here. And part of that flight was to prepare her for a flight around the world and across the Pacific. So it was all part of that effort. And we had this confirmed by the Amelia Earhart Museum. And she also had fuel tanks installed at one of her aircraft here for that trip as well.
Yeah, she had to put in, obviously, extra gas tanks for those.
Yeah.
Are there any pictures, by the way, of Amelia Earhart when she was doing training at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport? Any pictures?
We are trying to find some of those, and we think there's some out there somewhere, but we do not have any in our possession right now.
By the way, there's also going to be, you mentioned everybody that comes on Saturday will get a free raffle ticket, no cost, and then every 15 minutes, three numbers will be called, and those three people will be able to ride the next free flight, free airplane rides. Now, if you're not a winner, there'll also be, for a nominal fee, flights available for a purchase, right, for a small donation.
That's correct. For $10, which is a bargain basement price, so to speak, you can get a flight around the airport And normally that's a ride that would cost you a considerably higher amount of money. But you can take up to three people at $10 a piece, and you have the pilot and then three passengers. And it's an opportunity to get up in the air, and possibly you wouldn't have that opportunity other than to, you know, rent an airplane for an hour.
And all the proceeds from that will benefit a scholarship fund, right?
Yes, we have the Future of Flight Scholarship. We all signed two scholarships last year as the first year of the award. The two folks who are enrolled in flight training here at the airport, and they're Butler County residents.
Lots of stuff for kids, the Top Fun Kids Zone. There's going to be food trucks there and music and all kind of stuff going on this Saturday at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport. And by the way, that is the official name now. It was changed back, what, Ike, a couple of years ago, I think, right, to the original name?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, and again, it reflects the regional scope of our operations now, and it's back to the future, so to speak, you know, as the Pittsburgh-Butler when it opened. And over the years, it's been Butler County, Butler City County. It's been the Butler-Graham Airport. It's had various names over the years. And whenever we noticed a change in our operations, we went back to the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional.
It all happens this Saturday as they celebrate the 90th anniversary of the grand opening of the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, which happened in late September of 1929. Ike Kelly, I know you're busy making plans for the big event on Saturday. Thanks for chatting with our listeners for a couple of minutes here today, Ike.
Oh, sure thing, Dave. And one closing comment, you know, we mentioned if we have any pictures of Amelia Earhart. If any of your listeners, you know, a lot of them talk to their grandparents or great parents, they may have photos sitting around the house. We've had people bring in photography and different photos over the years, so there may be something there. I know there's local individuals whose parents, grandparents were down here as young people who saw her here, saw her training, but it would be nice to have some photographs that tie her to the airport as well.
That is such a fascinating story. I've always been intrigued by that woman, and to learn that she actually did training work here in Butler, that's fantastic. Well, once again, Ike, wish you good luck, and it's going to be a big day Saturday at the airport. Thanks for chatting with us.
Well, thank you, and would like to see everybody come out and take a look around the airport.
All righty. That will be a big day indeed on Saturday. Always nice to talk with Ike Kelly, very knowledgeable, obviously, on aircraft and airports. I think it's so intriguing to think that Amelia Earhart came here to Butler to do some training at the airport. Runway still there, same runway that she landed on, and she had her plane fitted out with special enlarged gasoline tanks for her trips across the Atlantic and attempts to cross the Pacific, which ended tragically, of course, with her plane crashing somewhere. First time I learned about Amelia Earhart being in Butler at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport was a few years back. It was another one of those reports where somebody thought they'd spotted the wreckage of her plane, you know, on some island in the South Pacific. And I can remember talking with Ike Kelly about that because at first I didn't believe it, that she, you know, Amelia Earhart was here in Butler. I thought it was, you know, kind of a legend or something. Nope, it's true. Hey, there's more coming this weekend. You got a lot of stuff from which to choose for things to do. We'll talk with Natalie Simon at McConnell's Mill State Park next. She'll be with us in just a moment.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart and their client aid program. And the client aid program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Going to be a big day this weekend, actually a big 2 days this weekend. The annual McConnell's Mill Heritage Festival will be held at the State Park. Natalie Simon is here to chat with us a little bit about what's going to happen. This festival, Natalie, has been going on for quite a while now. It's very popular, isn't it?
Yes, this is the 27th annual Heritage Festival. It's sponsored primarily by the Rotary Club of Portersville Prospect, and in partnership with the park and DCNR staff. And then we have a number of commercial and local sponsors also that help make it happen.
Now, this is a two-day festival. It's both this coming Saturday and Sunday. Getting underway, what, mid to late morning both days?
Saturday, the hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Sunday, it's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Visitors to McConnell's Mill will be able to tour the grist mill, right?
Yes, they can ride a free hay wagon shuttle from the Kildew picnic area down to the mill, get off the shuttle, go through the all three floors of the mill, and visit a couple of live music or and/or special events down there. And then when they're done looking around by our covered bridge, they can get back on the shuttle and get a ride back up.
You could walk, too. I've enjoyed that walk from the Kildew picnic area way up on top of the gorge down into the grist mill. But for people who don't like to walk, take the hay wagon. I just love to look at those gigantic boulders that are along the road when you walk down to the mill. It's almost scary to think of how those were carved out by the rushing waters of Slippery Rock Creek long ago, huh?
Absolutely. And in fact, they're so unique for this area, and they're so special that while we're a state park, the National Park Service has designated it a national natural landmark. There's less than 600 in the whole country. And so this is indeed a special place based a lot on its geology.
Now, folks can visit the grist mill, but there'll be lots of activities going on up on top of the gorge, too, at Kildew Picnic Area. I understand there's going to be a Civil War encampment. Is that still on, Natalie?
Yes, the 19th Ohio Light Artillery and the 101st PA Infantry, they set up their tents, and they will teach anyone all about their tools and their lifestyle and the history of it. There's also the Society of Civil War Surgeons that give a little insight into that. And they're even firing artillery, which is a cannon, and they're firing it at four different times both days. That's 11 a.m., 12:30 p.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. So makes a loud boom. So just keep that in mind.
Something to see, though, and hear, no matter what your age. You know, young people might especially enjoy that. And there are lots of family activities going on. Now, you usually have, like, artists and artisans and craftspeople there for this Heritage Festival at McConnell's Mill. Will they be there again this year, Natalie?
Absolutely. There's a large number of craft vendors and nonprofit demonstrators, people that have a passion for a particular craft or art, and they are sharing it with everyone who wants to come along. There are just all sorts of things for sale that are tied to the historical period of the grist mill's operation. So if it's not reminiscent of 1852 to 1928, chances are it's not here, but the old-fashioned handcrafts and art, we have well represented.
You know, that time period is interesting. Folks may not realize just how long the grist mill at what we now know as McConnell's Mill State Park was active. 1852 to 1928. Wow, Natalie, wow.
And we like to celebrate it with the festival.
That would have used the, and of course, back in the days when it was getting started, 1852, heck, that's before the Civil War, they used the powerful waters of Slippery Rock Creek to operate the mill, and that was the only way they could grind up wheat for bread, right?
Absolutely, and we still have the water turbine turning and driving power shafts, and then our grist mill baker is teaching how to take that grain from one of our sponsors, Zanella's Milling, and make it into good breads and cakes and things to eat.
If visitors stop at the grist mill this weekend, will they actually be able to see the works inside turning and so on?
Yes.
Oh, a lot of folks have not seen that. I've been down to the mill several times, but I've never actually seen it in operation, so I think I might want to stop in, too.
I hope you do. Mm-hmm.
People from all around would have gone here. I mean, farmers from all over the region would have taken their grains to McConnell's Mill to get them ground up for bread because, you know, you had to do that somewhere, and that was a pretty popular stop. I'm assuming that there was, at some point, somebody named McConnell. That's how we got the name of this, McConnell's Mill, Natalie?
Absolutely. There were several, and it was from a Captain McConnell and his son James ran the mill, and they were from a family of Irish millers that had immigrated long before that. And so they were the ones that after which the mill is named, and then others contributed it to it being preserved all these years.
I imagine they lived near there too, right? They would have had to have lived right there.
Yeah, there was there were several houses clinging to the side of the gorge.
And of course, in case there's somebody that has never been there, there's a beautiful covered bridge right by the old grist mill too.
Absolutely, and as a matter of fact, they're out there now giving it a nice cleaning, so it'll be sparkling.
Getting it all tuned up for the weekend. It's the McConnell's Mill Heritage Festival, 2 days this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and there's no admission charge, and it doesn't cost you to park either, does it, Natalie?
Correct. Parking can get a little crowded at the prime times, but there is some, and one good strategy, if you know a shut-in or maybe an elderly person who can't get around very well, but they can still get around on grass, but they have an ADA sticker. We try to increase the number of special designated parking for people with disabilities, and so might be a good time to do a good deed and bring somebody out who would enjoy these old-time activities and live music and all the food you could think of, food vendors, and lots of fun.
Nothing like having a picnic while you're listening to some live bluegrass or Celtic music. There'll be plenty of that, too. Hey, it's going to be a big weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 27th year for the annual McConnell's Mill Heritage Festival. Natalie Simon from McConnell's Mill filling us in. Good to talk with you again, Natalie. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope that your listeners come on out and enjoy the festival.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
It's
It's football season and you need to get your game on at Sir Speedy Printing Center. That's right, you'll score big when you brand your business with custom printed banners for events, direct mail pieces or travel mugs, pens or cap sticks for clients. Need to order forms, envelopes, brochures? Free quotes available at Sir Speedy. They can also do bulk mailing so you don't have to. Are you working on the school or church fall fundraiser? Get a quote for raffle tickets at Sir Speedy Printing Center on South Main Street in Butler. And then you'll feel like you scored big time with the quality and service they provide.
Preparation for fall has already started, and Osterling's Lawn and Garden has all the tools and items you'll need to keep checking the boxes off your to-do lists. They have pruning tools, rakes, bulb planters, and fall planting onions. Even fall flower bulbs will be arriving this month. They'll have tulips, irises, crocus, and more. Make sure to grab heavy trash bags for all your leaves and yard waste. It's also canning time at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. There are plenty of cabbage cutters, apple pickers, and canning salt. Get prepared for fall with Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Going to be talking about cybersecurity, or the lack thereof, listeners, on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Greg Scott, author of a new novel entitled Virus Bomb. Let's talk a little bit about cybersecurity, Greg Scott. You've written a novel about this now, but sometimes it takes fiction, doesn't it, to bring the real danger to mind to the citizen about something that could actually happen, right?
That's absolutely correct. I like to say we use fiction to present truth better than the news.
So, listeners, what would happen if some nation state somewhere around the world really did launch a serious cyber attack against the United States? And this could be more than just an inconvenience, right, Greg?
For sure. And a lot of us, the scenario everybody worries about is, let's launch a cyber attack and shut down the water and the power and all that stuff. And that's a scenario to worry about. But another scenario that we don't talk about enough is, let's gather a bunch of data across the Internet. Everything we use to run our world is inside of our computers and inside servers and that kind of thing these days. If a bad guy can copy all that data, there's no end of the stuff they can do to us in the physical world. And that's a scary thing to think about.
You read a story about someone who had committed suicide after the Target data breach some years ago, and I understand that was actually the inspiration for you to begin this novel.
It was part of it. There was a one-paragraph piece buried in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and that spawned a couple characters in my books. There's the first book, Bullseye Breach, has a character who's an immigrant from Central America, and I didn't have the heart to write a character that killed herself. And then I have another short story I haven't showed a whole lot of people yet, about a character in St. Paul that a data breach compromises her cash assistance card, and that's almost the last straw that convinces her to jump off a bridge into the Mississippi River in the middle of winter. But it has a better outcome. Virus bomb itself, that St. Paul story did not prompt Virus Bomb per se, but it prompted a whole lot of stuff in the fictional world that I built.
Let's talk a little bit about, we've become almost blasé in many cases about these reports of cyber attacks and hacks. I mean, my goodness, it's almost a daily story about some data breach. We need to pay more attention, don't we, Greg?
We do, and we need to care. We need to institutionally and individually care about this stuff. And the thing we need to realize is cybersecurity is not the problem of the NSA and the FBI and the CIA and the Department of Homeland Security to solve. That problem is for us to solve. There's nobody from the government sitting next to us at our keyboard or beside us when we tap buttons on our cell phones. We have to do smart stuff ourselves. You know, it all goes back to personal responsibility, I guess, but now it's personal responsibility across the Internet. And so I wrote a novel where ordinary people do stupid stuff and ordinary people also do some really, really, really good stuff. And that's the way the real world operates. So we need, let's get into the mindset of taking command of our own destinies instead of thinking the government can do for us what it's not able to do.
We're talking with Greg Scott, author of a new novel entitled Virus Bomb. Greg Scott's career in IT, internet technology, spans, close to 40 years, including many, many years working specifically in cyber security. Greg, should we trust Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft to protect us?
You already know the answer to that question. Of course not. We trust ourselves to protect ourselves. And we take the steps, we take the right steps to make sure that when we visit Amazon or Google or Microsoft, that we really are visiting Amazon or Google or Microsoft instead of somebody pretending to be those entities. And there's, I've got some stuff on my website. I've got a recorded presentation about trust on the internet for how a lot of that works. And you just go to dgregscott.com and go to cyber resources and many seminars and find the one about trust on the internet and just invest 15 minutes and watch the presentation and you'll get some tips on how to know who you can trust and who you can't trust.
So what do we need to do about it? I mean, some sites are pretty nicely encrypted. Do we need to do more in terms of encryption, Greg?
We need to be aware. Encryption is good, and there's a whole big debate about encryption, whether the government should regulate it, and my vote is no, the government should stay out of it. But it's more than just asking for websites to be encrypted and asking for the communication to be encrypted. We need to generate more awareness in our own brains. There is no substitute for good old-fashioned human judgment. There's a whole bunch of technology tools that can help us, but in the end, it comes down to the decisions that we make. And so it's not let's encrypt websites better. It's let's, as consumers, use good judgment on what websites we visit and what decisions we make. That's way, way, way more important than adopting the latest tech tools.
And boy, folks, we are so connected these days. It's hard to imagine. From just a few years ago, we have smart homes, we have driverless cars, we have connectivity everywhere, and it all poses at least the potential for big, big problems, does it not, Greg?
It does, and you know, we all talk about it. That's the popular thing to say. All this interconnected, it poses the potential for big problems, and then we wring our hands, and then we go watch the movie and forget about it. And so let's not forget about it. And you brought up smart homes. Consider that every smart refrigerator or stove or thermostat or baby monitor, those things are all little websites. And we've seen all the trouble that big, huge companies go through to protect their websites. Well, now you have a website in your house. So you've got all the problems and all the risk that every big, huge Fortune 500 company in the world faces. You've got that same risk, but it's right there inside your house. Let that sink in for a minute. You should probably do a little bit of education when you set up that smart home. I've got some blog posts on that on my website, too.
As we wrap up here today, D. Greg Scott, give us that website again. People will be interested in checking it out.
Sure. D as in Daniel, dgregscott.com. And just go there and help yourself to any content you want. There's a big red button you can click, and I've got some automation. Give me your email, your name and your email address, and I have some automation that will send you some cybersecurity tips every other day for about 3 weeks, about a dozen cybersecurity tips, and then a great big book, a book plug at the end. Buy the book, please.
That's right.
You have to do a book plug.
Pick up a copy of D. Greg Scott's latest book, Virus Bomb. Hey, thanks, Greg. Nice to talk with you today. Some sobering stuff to think about here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
The Suck Up Theater at Butler County Community College raises the curtain for the Bodyography Contemporary Ballet on Saturday, September 28th. Don't miss your chance to experience an evening of graceful and elegant dance from Maria Caruso's repertoire and a new piece featuring local dance students. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $18 for seniors, and $10 for students. So reserve your seat today at bc3.edu/theater. Sponsored in part by Armstrong.
And if you'd like to win some tickets to go see Bodyography at Suck Up Theater, call me right now at 724-283-2525. Each caller will get a pair of tickets for this Saturday night performance. It's at 8 o'clock at Suck Up Theater.